I mentioned to you this morning, and again, I'll do my best not to keep you too long. Moses himself had to leave his past so he could embrace his future. As it has been mentioned, and I appreciate Brother Chris doing what he did, and we need to hold him up in prayer. And I'm going to mention some things. The reason that we struggle to get revival is because the devil lies to us, Brother Kevin, that we haven't been called and we're not good enough and blah, 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 and all this. That's what the devil does, and I'm going to explain that here in just a minute. But people who take a stand for God is not always popular. But if you want real revival, we must be brave. And he who is brave will be free. The Bible tells us, to whom the Son set free, he is free indeed. We find in the book of Joshua that he took a stand for God and for the children of Israel in the circumstances when they desperately needed somebody to take that stand and bring revival and usher it in. In Joshua chapter 24 verse 14 said, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served, and serve ye the Lord." Verse 15, "And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, and whether the gods which your fathers served are on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in which land you dwell. But as for me and my house," somebody say my house, "we're going to serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." I looked and listened closely at most of the songs that we sang tonight, alluded to the fact that we need to worship God for who He is and not for what He can do. And I mentioned to you emphatically this morning that sometimes we're more fascinated at what God can do instead of who He is. But I'm here to tell you tonight, we serve a God that is the great I Am. We serve a God that put all things in place. He created the heavens and the earth. While they're still trying to figure out the stars and the galaxies and the constellation, God has the stars all named, and He knows every one of them. Hey, listen, did you hear me? God has all the stars named. When you can't even fathom to count them, He has them all named. So we serve Him because of who He is. Somebody needs to grab a hold of that tonight. We serve Him because of who He is. We praise Him because of who He is. One of the most magnificent revival stories in the Word of God is found in Chronicles chapter 6. And that whole chapter 6, Solomon gives a... Listen to me closely. I may even end right here if you'll amen me real good. I said may. Solomon in chapter 6, it is recorded that Solomon gives a heartfelt message to the children of Israel. I mean, he exhorted them. He poured his heart out to them. Had to understand all the circumstances and everything. I mean, Israel has been on a roller coaster and serving God, not serving God, serving the gods of the foreigners and all the land, and they've been on a roller coaster. But Solomon come to the place that he give a heartfelt message to the children of Israel. And then in concluding that, he asked God for clarity. He asked God for clarity. If we ever need clarity in this world that we're living in, we need clarity from God right now where we're at. Can somebody say amen? We need clarity. And he asked God for clarity concerning the sins and the repentance of the children of Israel, of God's people. And all Israel came together to dedicate the temple along with all the countrymen. I said, all of Israel come together to dedicate the temple along with all their countrymen. They yielded their will to the king and to the God of Israel. They worshiped God like never before. They worshiped Him for who He was and they praised him. And because of that, we understand this period of time, that all the time before, that God had dwelt in tents and out in the wilderness. And there was a place that God had dwelt there among the children of Israel, but there had never been a house. And David, King David, had a desire to build a house, a temple for Almighty God because of who he was. Come on, stay with me. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Okay? And because David desired to build a house for God, he set an order for all that to take place and for all that to happen. But because, the Bible says, because David was a man of war and he shed blood, God did not allow him to build the temple, but God did allow him to get the material together. You remember the scripture where it says that some plant, some water, God gives the increase. God gives the increase. So God allowed David to accumulate the material, but he put Solomon in a signature of the mercy and the grace of God. For Solomon, the son of David, to put the construction together. Solomon's heart was after the heart of God, and the hunger for the construction of the temple brought revival. As Solomon petitioned God for restoration for the people and for the restoration and the building of the temple, it brought revival in the land, and it lasted 23 days. I said it lasted 23 days because of the revival. I want you to concentrate for just a moment here on what is happening and what's going on. There is a temple that is being built. There is a temple for God to dwell in. The New Testament tells us that our body has become the temple of Almighty God. I'm here to tell you tonight that we need to do some reconstruction. We need to do some building on this temple on the inside, where God no longer has to dwell on the outside, but he comes and dwells on the inside. I'm here to tell you tonight, church, that when we walk down the aisles of your favorite grocery store, the temple of God needs to be manifest to the people that they know that you've been walking with Jesus. When you walk down the street or you go on your job, there needs to be something that happens inside of you that those around about you know that there's something different. There's something exciting about what's happening inside, because you have been with Jesus all day long. You've been with Jesus when you get up in the morning. You've been with Jesus when you go to bed at night. And thank God, the temple of God is filled with the power and the glory of Almighty God. Hey, that's vitally important. It's vitally important. This temple needs to be filled with the presence of God. We are the temple of God, and we need desperately to rededicate and reconsecrate this temple that God has so richly blessed us, as we worship and praise him for who he is. Come on, somebody, we gotta praise him for who he is. Chapter 7, verse number 1, and when Solomon had made an end of praying, I'm still in the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, in chapter 7, and when Solomon had made an end of praying, you got to understand, there was something different about Solomon's prayer. There was something different about the exhortation as he gave the children of Israel. There was something that was stirred with inside of him. You got to understand that the temple of Almighty God had just been built. There was some things that still need to be taken care of, but there was revival fixing to break out because of obedience from David and the obedience from Solomon. There was a temple that was being built. Can somebody get the relationship that there's a temple inside here that needs the fire of God put inside of them so revival can reign in our hearts and our lives? And when Solomon made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. I said, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. What is wrong with us Pentecostal people when we come and we just nonchalantly go through the service and we just leave the same way we came and we feel like we're satisfied? When is the last time the fire of God fell in your soul and your spirit? And I thank God for what He's done this morning, but I'm here to tell you there was much more that God wanted to do. I believe that the fire of God wants to come upon you in the church. I believe that the fire of God wants to come upon you in your house. I believe the fire of God wants to come upon you when you're on your job. Listen, church, when was the last time you let the fire of God fall in your temple? The priest could not enter the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord filled the house. The glory of the Lord filled the house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, the glory of the Lord filled the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement, and they worshiped and they praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, and His mercy endureth forever." And the king and all the people offered sacrifices unto the Lord. And if you'll read that passage of scripture of how many sacrifices that they offered unto the Lord and how they give liberally and freely. So I ask you once again tonight, what's it going to take for the fire to fall and fill your temple with God's glory? I feel compelled to repeat that. What's it going to take? Are you hungry enough? I mentioned to you this morning, getting revival to move in a personal way and then in a corporate way, it's not going to be some humdrum, nonchalant, skipping through the tulips, hoping it all comes together. It's going to take some prayer and fasting and some desire and hunger. The Word of God tells us they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So I ask you tonight, what's it going to take for you to get to the position and the place that you put yourself where the power of God is coming down and the fire falls and the glory of the Lord fills your house? I'm telling you right now that the will of the people will have to be broken for revival to come corporately or even personally. Can I preach to you now? I said, the will of the people, our will, must be broken for the power and the fire of God to fall upon this temple. The strife and division cannot be named among us in our group, in our church, in our world. That division, that strife and division must be mended. Come on, folks. Jealousy must be put away. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 tells us specifically every weight and sin must be set aside and must be dealt with. Can I tell you, as I've told you the last month or so on a couple of different occasions, for revival to happen and for mercy and grace to be applied, sin itself must be dealt with for which it was intended to touch and to move in hearts and lives. Can I tell you, those weights and those sins must be personally dealt with for a personal revival to break out and for the fire of God to fall. Did I just dampen your dauber? Hello? Sometimes it don't take much to get our dauber dampened, does it? Especially when they're talking about our sins or the weights that hold us back. There is no reason in this world this church right here ought to be on fire for God as soon as those church doors are open every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We ought to be on fire, and I know some of you have heard this before, some of you probably never heard it before. We ought to be on so on fire for God that when those church doors open, people ought to come just to see us burn. Huh? But we're satisfied with what God can do instead of who He is. We get those little goosebumps and those little feelings up and down our back and on our neck, and we feel justified that we've been to God's house and we can go on the rest of the week. I'm here to tell you, when you read the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles and you see the move and mighty power of God in the temple that was built, can I tell you, church, we need to worship God for who He is. We've got to get rid of all that isms and schisms in our heart and our life, and we got to come together. Can I tell you, the world is depending upon you to get on fire for God. I said the world is depending upon you to get on fire for God. It is a personal issue, that when that personal issue takes place and happens, there will be a corporate revival breakout, and it'll spread throughout your community. It'll spread out through your job, because God desires to do something special in your heart and in your life. The 10th verse of the 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and you all know where I'm going, but I'm going to go there anyway. And three and 20 days in the 7th month, people were sent to their tents, because they was glad and they was merry in their heart, and because the goodness of the Lord had been showed to them by God Almighty. And Solomon finished the house of God. Listen, verse number 12. There cannot be any more of a satisfying feeling and blessings when God made this appropriation to Solomon. In verse number 12, he said, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for a house of sacrifice. Oh, come on, somebody. I said, come on, somebody. Wouldn't it be a blessing if the Lord come to you sometime during the night tonight and touch you on the shoulder and said, son, I want you to know that I have heard your prayer. I'm about to get excited up here on this platform, church. Wouldn't it be absolutely awesome if in the middle of the night the fire of God fell in your temple and touched you in such a way, and you heard God say, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen you for a place to use you and to move in your heart, to move in your life. And he said, if I shut up heaven, and it comes no rain, and if I bring locusts to devour the land, and I send pestilence among the people. In verse 14, he sums it all up. And we say this time after time after time, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Can I tell you, church, there's a lot more to that than what we give it credit for, because Solomon had just talked to the people and said, people, listen, we've got to make a covenant with God. Solomon had just prayed and sought God, and the fire of God fell from heaven. And now he said, God said, if you mess up, he said, if you'll come to me and repent, I'll heal your land. If you don't go the way that you always ought to go, but if you'll come and repent to me, there'll be a moving in the power and the anointing of God that'll touch your heart, and I'll do it again. I said, I'll do it again. God said, I'll do it again. If we'll trust him, if my people which are called by my name, if you lay it all aside, amen, church, do you want revival? If you want revival, you're going to have to say, God, touch my heart, and let's do it again. Mine eyes have been opened, my ears attend to thy prayer that is made in this place. Can I tell you that it's a condition of the heart whether revival comes in your temple or not? I have chosen this house that my name will be there forever. And my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Glory.
How many wants the blessings of God upon this house?
Amen.
We're going to have to lay aside all the discontent, all the differences, just because I don't do things like you think you ought to, and just because you don't do things like I think you ought to. Huh? Come on. We got to lay them aside and say, God, this ain't about me, ain't about anybody in here, but it's about who He is. It's about who He is. Well, for the next hour and a half, I'm just going to hit the highlights of the rest of my message. I want to speak to you on concerning this. Solomon had a great revival. We need to take that. We need to read it and ask God to send the fire down. But I just want to tell you, it's kind of like this is what the devil fights us, because he don't want you to have revival. This is how the devil fights. This is what the devil tried to do to Kevin, to push him down. And this is what the devil tries to do to you. This is what the devil has done to a whole bunch of people here tonight that's not here tonight. Let me say that again. That's what the devil's done to a whole lot of people that didn't show up tonight. That you missed your visitation. 2 Kings chapters 18 and 19. Hezekiah, king of Judah. The Syrian army, a guy by the name of Sennacherib, come to him. They was going to overtake Judah there. And he sent a letter because they wasn't paying the taxes that the king of Assyria army wanted them to pay the taxes, and they wasn't going to do it. And so he sent a letter and intimidating them. That's exactly what the devil tries to do. He tries to intimidate you. He tries to manipulate you. He come to kill, steal, and destroy. But greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. Come on, somebody, listen to me tonight. I'll let you go here in just a minute, but just preach with me and it'll make you feel better than me too. It's exactly what the devil tries to do. You may not get a letter, a registered letter or a certified letter, but it's exactly what the devil's trying to do. He don't want you to have revival. He wants to discourage you. He wants you to pay the tax, and he wants you to pay the fee. But I'm here to tell you that we've got a resource. Hezekiah received the letter from the messenger, and he read it, and he went to the temple of God to spread it before God. And he prayed, O Lord God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubims, you alone are God over the kingdoms of the earth, and you have made heaven and earth. Give ear, O Lord, and hear, and open our eyes, O Lord, and see and listen to the words of Sennacherib has sent and to insult the living God. I don't know how you feel, but I'm sick and tired of the devil insulting our God. I'm sick and tired of the devil insulting what we stand for in the Word of God coming into our hearts and our lives. I'm sick and tired of the devil trying to lie and manipulate and steal and keep us from having revival. It's time that we break free and say, God, here am I. Move in my midst. Move in my heart. Let the fire fall and let revival break out. Josiah requested, his quest was for revival. Brother Jacob alluded to this last Sunday night concerning Josiah when they was taking care of the temple. And Josiah, as a young man, 8 years old, when he began to reign, and he took care of all the stuff that Israel was doing that was not pleasing to God. He took care of it. I'm trying to hurry, okay? And he took care of it. But while they was cleaning up the house of God, getting everything ready, they found the book of Moses. And they read the book to him. And Josiah said, that's what we need to do. Hey, I'm reading the Bible to you tonight. I'm telling you the scriptures. I'm exhorting to you. And this is what we need to do. We need to let the fire of God fall in our hearts and our lives. This is what brings revival. Verse 31, 2 Chronicles 34. And the king stood in his place. Isn't it wonderful what God done this morning? Because if I'd have preached this whole thing this morning, we'd have still been here and your chicken would have been burnt. I mean, God's good. I'm going as fast as I can. But I want to instill within inside of you, this temple is God's. And we've got to have some restoration. I don't know if anybody realizes it or not, but there's people that's depending on you. I said there's people that's depending upon you. Verse 31, the king stood in the place, Josiah, and made a covenant before the Lord. It's time we renew the covenant. To walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes. Listen, remember I told you a while ago, it's all about the heart. It's a heart condition. And Josiah, with all of his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. Glory. Amen. Glory. He made a covenant with God that we're moving forward. Listen, church, we've got to come together. We've got to get it together. We're on the brink of eternity. The Lord spoke to our hearts this morning, encouraged us, and told us the words. Listen, we are getting close to the coming of the Lord, and we got to get it together. We must have a personal quest for revival like David did in Psalms chapter 51 when he said, "Have mercy upon me, wash me thoroughly from my iniquities. I acknowledge my transgressions against thee only. I have sinned. But now, God, I've got to have you. I've got to have you. I put it all out before you, and here it is. God, send revival." We see in the book of Acts chapter 1 beginning at verse 8, "And ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you." If I'm going too fast for you. "Ye shall be witnesses." See, it's a personal revival that needs to take place. And then corporate revival will break out. We need revival. "Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the othermost parts of the earth." Verse 14, "These all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." Chapter 2 of the book of Acts. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there was a period of time when they had to get their act together. Did y'all get that? Okay. There comes a time. Before we can get to chapter 2, we got to get our act together. These 120 in the upper room got their act together. And they began to pray and seek God. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and it appeared upon them as clothing tongues of fire. Now's the time, church. This is the place. I've given you the word. I've given you the prescription for revival. Now it's up to you to develop a personal revival in your prayer closet at home when you come to the house of God, so that a corporate revival will break out and the world outside will come again and watch you burn. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Now's the time. Stand with me all over the building today.